from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth in the studio this evening after the Preds 3-0 shutout victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs, joined by Lindsey Rowley of Fox Sports Tennessee, the host of Predators Live. Lindsey, a big win last night for the Nashville Predators, coming back home for the first time since that California road trip. Big 3-0 win. It was good to see them have that success, that kind of success at home, something we haven't seen a lot of recently.
No, I agree. And you know, especially a game like that being the third win in a row, I think is huge to go against a big Eastern Conference opponent like Toronto that's been doing so well this year. I think, like you said, for a lot of reasons, that was a big win. To come back from the road trip and be able, a lot of people questioning like, oh, was the road trip a fluke, whatever it may be, and to come back and have the Preds perform as well as they did in Bridgestone Arena, especially specifically for Pekka Rinne. That's a huge win for Pekka to get a shutout at home. I think it's his 55th of his career, especially at this point in the season when there was some questions and the Preds were up and down. To be able to come home and have a big exclamation mark of a win like that, that's huge.
Yeah, and you mentioned Pekka Rinne, and that's where I want to start with this game, because the first couple periods I thought was kind of a feeling out process, very close to the vest.
Yeah.
There weren't a lot of shots on goal.
No.
I looked up at the Jumbotron midway through the second period, and the Preds still had 11 shots on goal. And I'm like,
yeah, I think in the second period they had two.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
And I thought the turning point of the game was Pekka Rinne's save on John Tavares with about 15 and a half minutes to go in regulation. Now, it was 90s night last night.
Yes.
So what we're about to hear isn't Willie on TV. It's Willie on radio, because Pete Weber and Terry Crisp were on the TV call.
Up in the booth.
But this was how it sounded on the Fifth Third Bank Nashville Predators radio network.
Now puck in the Toronto zone. They're able to bust out up the right wing side. Here they come. Zach Hyman right in front. Tip by Rinne. Rebound! And what a save! Pekka Rinne on the rebound follow-up! I don't believe
what
I saw!
Did he save it?
Incredible.
That was Willie Donick last night on the radio call of that save on John Tavares. And I had almost the same reaction watching it from the other end of the ice inside the lower bowl. I thought when the rebound went out there and it was John Tavares of all players with it, I'm like, that tied game.
Game
1-1.
Over. Yeah. My reaction was Hal Gill's reaction. I don't know if you heard him, and he goes, did that go in? Did he save it? I was like, because that's what I was, both Mace and I were watching from the desk. And at that point, like when the scramble's happening, you don't know. Did it go in? Because at one point you thought maybe it did. And gosh, that was just, I mean, to steal Chris Mason's, what he said, that might be the save of the year for Pekka Rinne. That was incredible.
And the point in the game, too. Early in the third period.
Timing.
Right.
Yeah.
Up one goal.
Yeah.
And if that puck goes in,
it's a whole different game.
Whole different game.
Yeah.
And then later in the period, Wayne Simmons scores on a really nice pass and play from Ryan Ellis on the other side of the ice. He finds Wayne Simmons for the one-timer. And you could just see the relief on Wayne Simmons' face when that puck went in.
It was. And I love the post reaction from him when the puck goes in. But what I like more was the reaction, I don't know if you saw, on the bench. He was going crazy on the bench.
I didn't see that.
It was really cool. I think you might be able to find it somewhere. But it was really awesome to see his reaction on the bench and how jacked up he was just sitting on the bench and excited after the play. And, you know, all the guys, you know, slapping him, you know, congratulating him. And to see him, and you know, Kara Hammer talked to him in the post game also. And you could just tell the weight that got lifted off of his shoulders just to get goal number one, especially this time of the season when you know he wants to step up for the team in the playoffs. He wants to be that big body in front of the net and be able to contribute offensively. And I think, and maybe it might be just a domino effect now for Wayne Simmons now that he got number one.
And like you said, a little bit of a relief for him.
Yes.
He had gone 8 games in a Preds uniform without a goal.
Yeah.
And you could, like I said, you could just see it on his face and you can hear it in his voice in the locker room after the game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And thought I was never going to score again. But, I went in the net. I think most importantly, we got the 2 points and we played, really well as a team. Strong 60-minute effort. And, you know, I think from the net out, we were good tonight.
That was Wayne Simmons after the game last night in the locker room after the Preds 3-0 win. So he gets the second goal of the game and then the Preds put the icing on the cake with the 3-0 win over Toronto. And I want to go back to Pecorine because, like you said, there's been a little bit of question of what kind of Pecorine are we going to see from night to night. And there have been some clunkers that he's had recently. There have been some other games where he hasn't gotten much help from his teammates in front of him. But last night, I thought there were some hairy moments where he had to come up big, like that John Tavares save.
Right.
But he came up big in the clutch, and hopefully, for his sake, that is a confidence booster down the stretch going into the playoffs.
Oh, I definitely think it is. And like you said, there have been some questions, but never has there been a question from anybody that I've felt from the locker room or the coaching staff or anything. They know they have one of the best goaltending tandems in the league as far as Pecorine and UC Saros goes. And I do think, though, with the Preds, you know, coming off of those two wins and this being really a big test, a big measuring stick for the Nashville Predators, for Pekka to come up and not only shut out Toronto once, but that's his second shutout against Toronto this season. So for him to kind of, like I said, put that explanation mark on that win, I think it's just got to create a world of confidence, not only for him, but for the defense in general, having him between the pipes.
And I wonder what the success of UC Saros is doing to maybe push Pekka to play as well as he did. Not only last night, but you go back to the Los Angeles game on the road trip last time out.
Yeah.
His previous game, a 25-save win over the Kings, only allowed one goal.
Right.
One goal allowed in the last two games.
That's big.
That is big. So I do wonder, you know, UC Saros in the last few months has been playing really well, really consistent.
He has.
I wonder if that's been pushing Pekka too.
I think so. And I also think it's something that is not necessarily a comfort, but definitely says something about them as a duo going into the playoffs, to the coaching staff, to everyone, that, hey, we can have either one of these guys in net and have full confidence in them going out there and being able to make the big saves and be able to step up when they can. I think we'll probably see UC maybe a little bit more in the playoffs than we did last season because of how well he's playing. But you look at last night, Pekka's playing outstanding, and he is the number one netminder for the Nashville Predators, and I think there is full confidence in him being able to extend a long run for the Preds in the postseason.
And it is good that the coaching staff also has full confidence in Saros, too.
Yes,
where
definitely.
They can give Pecorine the amount of rest that he needs down the stretch, where maybe tomorrow night against Pittsburgh, it's UC Saros in net.
Yeah.
You know, I would expect Pecorine to be in net Saturday.
You would think.
In Winnipeg. And we know last year down the stretch, the final eight games, they went back and forth. They rotated games.
Definitely want to keep them both rested and healthy, you know, especially Pekka, making sure that he's got the right amount of rest going into the postseason.
So I wonder if we're going to see a lot of that, too,
down
the stretch with those
two. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Just going back and forth, giving Pecorine.
Yeah, especially with the Preds being in a good spot as far as probably confidence-wise with the wins, but also as far as looking like they're going... Exactly, the standings. Looking like they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah,
the magic number's at what, 5 now, correct?
5 now,
yes.
And they're starting to build some separation that wasn't there a week ago from teams like St. Louis and Dallas, where it looked like, maybe they're going to fall down to the number 3 seed.
Right.
But, you know, it could still happen.
Right.
But the
Preds are looking good.
Right. This 3-game winning streak has now garnered a little bit of separation. They're
and
up.
Brought up big questions if they can take the Central Division.
For sure.
Yeah.
And they are not only separating a little bit from St. Louis and Dallas, they are keeping pace with Winnipeg as Winnipeg has now won 3 in a row. It's been funny. Like, whenever the Jets lose, the Preds lose.
I know.
Or whenever
it's
the Preds
crazy.
Win, the Jets win.
I know. It really is their mirrored image of themselves as far as results go.
They can't figure each other out.
I know.
And that's why
Saturday is going to be such a showdown.
Saturday showdown, and not to overlook Pittsburgh.
Right.
But if the Preds can win that game in regulation, I think that's going to change how some people feel about their Central Division hopes.
Oh, I definitely think so. I think you're absolutely right. And I think that Coach Laviolette's probably going to be one of those games. He's not going to really need to say much to get the team jacked up.
Yeah.
I think everybody in that locker room knows, like you said, not to overlook Pittsburgh tomorrow because that's a big opponent. But definitely on Saturday, it's going to be one of those things where everybody is going to be ready to roll.
Especially the last two outings against the Jets, where the home game in January, you got your butts kicked by Winnipeg. And then the last time out a couple weeks ago in Winnipeg, you are right there, tied 2-2 in the third period.
Yeah.
And then a little bounce doesn't go your way, and then you know, the Jets go down, they score, and that's basically the game.
Yeah, I think the Preds are going to come out super strong on Saturday, regardless of what happens tomorrow night. You know, hopefully they pick up another win and they go in there even more confident. But regardless of that, I do think no matter what, the Preds are going to come out really, really strong in that first period.
So last night, the Preds win 3-0 over Toronto. This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Ryan Porth alongside Lindsey Rally. And you spend a lot of time with Terry Crisp.
Yeah.
Last night you spent time with Chris Mason at the desk there inside Bridgestone Arena. What has been kind of their feeling about Kyle Turris? Kyle Turris last night played his first game after being a healthy scratch for two games. He was on the fourth line most of the night, and he looked okay. He didn't look fantastic, in my opinion. But what has kind of been their view in terms of a former player and a former coach in terms of trying to get a guy like that going as high profile as he is?
I think it's exactly what you would think as far as, you know, the healthy scratch, maybe just to get him motivated, get him going a little bit. And like you said, he didn't do anything bad last night by any means. He didn't have a bad game, but you're right. He didn't go out and score a goal, or, you know, he didn't go out and have a hat trick by any means. But I do think that that's just something that the coaching staff and Kyle Turris are continuing to talk about as far as, you know, where to fit in and what his strengths are. And as far as him stepping up for the team. And I think that those guys would agree with me that that's kind of what the deciding factor was in kind of scratching him, is to get him motivated. So it'll be really interesting to see if he's in the lineup tomorrow night. And if he is, if he's able to step his game up even more.
Well, I think it's gotten to a point, again, in my opinion, where you don't need to scratch him anymore. Two games should be enough of a wake-up call to a veteran player like Kyle Turris, who has been on a first or second line most of his career.
Yeah.
And now this year, with his struggles offensively, production-wise, far enough removed from the injury that, you know, he's been demoted to the fourth line and he's with different line mates. He was expected to be the second line center, and now he's on that fourth line. It's now up to Kyle Turris to figure it out.
Yeah, I agree. And so, and I also think, I mean, the Preds are going to need him down the stretch. Yeah. Definitely going to need him to step up. Like you said, he's most of the time been a top six player. And so I think it's going to be interesting to see the reaction, and hopefully Kyle can continue to take steps forward and contribute, because come the postseason, like I said, they're going to need him.
They're not going to win a Stanley Cup without Kyle Turris being an effective second line center.
I think that that could be a big factor. You know, there's other guys on the team who are really stepping up. I don't think it comes down to make or break on Kyle Turris by any means, whether you win a cup or not. But I do think that he could end up being a huge factor as far as any success they have if he steps up.
Coming up next on Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Craig Smith joined Darren and Donick earlier today and talked about maybe how the L.A. San Jose back-to-back to close the road trip may have been a little bit of a difference maker for this team on the stretch run. You will hear from Craig Smith after the break, and we will get Lindsey's thoughts on what is different about this team in the last three games after their struggles earlier in March. We will get to all of that coming up next. She's Lindsey Rowley. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth joined by Lindsey Rally, host of Predators Live on Fox Sports Tennessee. The Preds are back at it tomorrow night at home against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Pregame at 6, puck drop at 7. All the action heard right here at ESPN 102.5 The Game. As always, Preds Insiders brought to you by Cool Springs Laser Dentistry. For all your dental needs, visit KellyERice.com. Lindsey, we know last week was a bit of a struggle earlier in the week to start the road trip for the Preds, where they lost in regulation to Anaheim after being down 3-0. They lose 3-2, and there was a lot of concern around this city with the team. And it kind of looked like LA, they were starting to figure things out. They win that game in regulation, and then they beat San Jose Saturday night. And you're thinking, okay, was that a little bit of a turning point for this Predators team? Well, Craig Smith, Preds winger, joined Darren and Donick earlier today on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and he said, you know what? It was a little bit of a turning point.
That was one we marked on the calendar, especially going through that trip as a really big game. That place is always it's always a tough place to play there, and that team's always giving us a headache. So I thought it was exceptional. I thought there was a lot of things in our game that were awesome. We played with a lot of passion, and you know, we were able to establish a lot of zone time against that team. So it was great. It felt like we played the right way. So you know, that's kind of what we're looking for right now. Everybody's kind of coming together, and that's just one more stepping stone. A little bit better going into playoffs.
That was Craig Smith on with Darren and Donick earlier today, talking specifically about the San Jose game on Saturday night. And Lindsey, when you look at Thursday in LA, Saturday in San Jose, and then last night at home against Toronto, a 3-0 win, the thing that Craig Smith said right there that stands out is playing the right way. And compared to before, it definitely seems like they are now playing the right way, playing the way they need to play down the stretch as they get closer to playoff hockey.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting how a few wins can just completely turn the entire mindset, atmosphere, everything just around. Because after the game in Anaheim, you know, you could feel the tension. You could feel how frustrated the team was, but also with that frustration also came that sense of like, okay, they're going to come out ready to play against LA. And I thought they did. And as you said, I think they looked better in San Jose than they did in LA, but you get the win in LA, you build a little bit of confidence, and then they came out. And I agree with Craig. I thought they were exceptional against San Jose, especially against a team that you know you're going into an atmosphere that's difficult to play in, a team that's been hot, a team that you have a little bit of a rivalry with, you know, going back a little bit in history. So I think for them to step up in that game, I think that was a huge turning point. And as Craig said, they had it marked on the calendar. So they knew it was going to be a big game. And for them to go in knowing it's going to be a big game, knowing it's going to be a little bit of a hostile environment, and to get the big win, I think that's huge. And I think it really turned everything around, because then we saw the big win last night over Toronto. And now, as you said, it just seems like everything has shifted a little bit.
And I think some fans do want to see this extend into tomorrow night against Pittsburgh, and then end of the weekend against Winnipeg. Really big game in the Central Division, as we talked about last segment. But it was Craig Smith's line in San Jose that really set the tone, where Smith assisted on the Colton Sissons goal just a minute into the game. That set the tone for that game.
It did.
And that the Thursday game against LA, it was nice to get the 2 points, but it was LA. It's the worst team in the Western Conference. Right. You should get 2 points
That's a win you should get. Yes.
Right. Saturday felt like a measuring stick game. Mm-hmm. And the way they won that, you're like, okay, maybe things are turning around. And then last night, even
to follow up
further confirms that feeling. But I want to get your thought. You said you could feel the tension after that game against the Ducks, where they lost in regulation, and how you felt like, maybe they're going to get things right against LA. What did you see out of that team going into the game against the Kings that made you feel that way?
You know, honestly, it was just, you could tell there was a confidence and a little bit of an extra motivation, I guess you could say. Not that the guys aren't always motivated, because they are, but there was just a different feel around the room in the morning. It was almost like they knew they were going to win that game. They knew that they had the confidence, they were going to go in, they were going to beat the Kings and then take the next step. And that's exactly what they ended up doing. So, you know, I really felt the turnaround in San Jose. You know, in the morning, it was just, I remember walking into the room in San Jose, and it was just a whole different feel than it was in Anaheim and LA. And whether you want to call it confidence, just maybe a little bit more relaxed too. Just, you know, knowing, okay, we got that win under our belt. The confidence is there. Let's go and take care of business tonight. And that's what they ended up doing. But it definitely was a night and day feel from walking out of the locker room in Anaheim to walking into the locker room then in San Jose after the LA game.
Yeah, I remember hearing Brooks Bratton on the pregame show with Darren McFarland Thursday night to open pregame. And he was like, you know what, Darren? I really feel like this team is going to win. You can just feel it.
You could.
You couldn't really put your finger on it, but you could just sense it around the team.
Definitely. I totally agree with Brooks. It's tough because it's hard to explain that feeling, but you can feel it around the room, the way the guys are acting, you know their attitudes. I think, you know, they feel the pressure too. There's so much pressure on these guys, especially at the end of the season when, you know, they're frustrated too with how they had been playing, and, you know, they want to step up and they want to get these wins more than anyone. And so I think for them to come out, I think it did in after LA, just take a little bit of the weight off the shoulders, and they could take a breath and get back to playing their game. And that's what they did against San Jose.
This is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth joined by Lindsey Rowley this evening. The Preds hosting Pittsburgh tomorrow night. Now, last Wednesday's show, I was with Thomas Willis, and the demeanor of this show is completely different than that one last week in reaction to that Preds Ducks game that we've been alluding to. And I laid out 5 things that I wanted to see different from this team down the stretch going into the playoffs. 1 was attention to detail, and 2 was the level of urgency.
Yeah.
Those 2 things have definitely picked up in the last 3 games. By no means have they been perfect games, but the attention to detail and the fact that they look like they have this maybe regained swagger about them on the ice, and they are attacking the game and not letting the game come to them, I think it has been a big difference in these last few games.
Yeah, and I like that you use the word urgency. Coach Laviolette uses that word a lot. And I remember after the Anaheim game, that was I remember having an interview with him because that's something he told me he was talking to his team about was we want you to the team to come out and create this urgency, and something he had tried to pose to them because it is tough when you're already kind of pretty sure you're going to make the playoffs and like what are you fighting for kind of thing, and you're fighting for home ice, but in the same token he was trying to stress to them about winning the Central and maybe that would help create that urgency, and I think that that's what it did. And you're right, I think the completely different from the you look back to the Anaheim game, the San Jose game, and last night's game, the urgency level was night and day in my opinion.
Absolutely. And a couple other things that I laid out there, one or number three on that list was Pekka Rinne.
Yeah,
wanting to see another level from him. And the last two games he's played, like I said last segment, one goal allowed. He's actually, people may be surprised by these numbers. In the last 10 games, Pekka Rinne is 7-3 with a 9.18 save percentage.
Yeah.
I mean, those are solid numbers.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Those are good numbers.
And you look at Pekka Rinne last night with the shutout, the big save on John Tavares, definitely like where he's headed. Let's see if he can continue it. Another thing was home ice advantage.
Yeah.
And at home, when you go from... Let's see. It was after the Washington game back in January through the Carolina game in March. That stretch of 13 home games, they were 6-6-1.
Right.
And they weren't really playing all that well at home, even in victories. And you're thinking, why can't they play well at home? And last night felt like one of those home games from either last season or the postseason prior, where they were feeding off that energy inside the building. Once Pekka Rinne made that big save, you could kind of feel they were getting closer and closer to that second goal. And then Wayne Simmonds broke through. But home ice advantage down the stretch, whether they win tomorrow night or not against the Pens, home ice is something that they need to reestablish, that advantage, that swagger on home ice, because that played so well for them in the playoffs 2 years ago.
Yeah, I think that, like you said, it was a step in the right direction last night. I agree. I thought they fed off the crowd a lot, and you could feel that energy, I thought, in the building, and you could see it out on the ice. The guys were playing with a little bit of, as you say, swagger, you know, in front of their home crowd wanting to defend home ice. And you definitely got that sense and felt that from the game last night. And as you said, it'll be interesting to see if they can carry that over against a really tough opponent in the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Absolutely. Well, last night, but as we put a bow on last night's game, last night was 90s night.
Yes, it was.
And you and Chris Mason at the set in Bridgestone Arena with Pete and Terry on the call in the TV booth, going back to their early days as TV partners, and then Willie Donick and Hal Gill on the radio call. You and Chris were decked out in the 90s gear.
Yeah.
You had the Nirvana shirt.
I did. I had the Nirvana, the scrunchie in my hair, the choker, had everything, the jean jacket. I was ready to go. But yeah, Mace, I barely recognized him. I told you this before the show. I was like, I walked up to the set, and even though I knew he was going to be sitting in that seat, my brain instantly did like a check real quick and was like, who's that guy? And then, of course, I was like, oh, that's Mace. But even Mace said he was walking around the arena, and people he says hi to all the time had no idea who he was. And so he had a pretty good costume going.
How would you describe the costume that Chris Mason was wearing?
I don't even, well, he had hair for one. For one, he hasn't had hair in a long time. I was going to say, that was probably the biggest throw off was the hair, but it was, oh my gosh, it was so funny. And he had so much, Mace is so great about that stuff, having fun with it, but still being able to talk hockey and, you know, have a serious factor, but also being able to have some fun at the same time. So we had a good time.
It goes back to the Wayne's World video that he and Hal
Gill
did earlier
this
season.
Yes. Jeez, those guys.
Crazy. Well, last night, we've talked about Wayne Simmonds scoring last night, but Brian Boyle scored as well. And there have been some good comments from the room on both Peter Laviolette and Wayne Simmonds and David Poile. You'll hear from those individuals coming up next in terms of what their impact has been, what their impact will be moving forward on this Preds team. She's Lindsay Rowley. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the show. Ryan Porth in the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Game Studios alongside Lindsay Rowley, host of Predators Live on Fox Sports Tennessee. Last night, the Preds got a big 3-0 win over the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Lindsay, Brian Boyle opened the scoring in the first period. And Brian Boyle is a player that I feel like has really made a strong impact in his first month plus in a Preds uniform. He has 5 goals in 18 games with the Preds. That would be a 23-goal pace if extrapolated through an 82-game season. And Peter Laviolette last night was very high on Brian Boyle. He likes what he's saying.
You know, we're expecting Brian to come in here and contribute offensively, to be physical, to fill some roles for our team. Left-handed centerman, net front presence, physical, tough, and the ability to score goals. I mean, he's done that through his career. He had a good year going this year, and I think he's just continued on here, and he's seamlessly fit into our group. So, yeah, he's been a real valuable part of our play lately, and moving forward as well.
That was Peter Laviolette last night after the game on Brian Boyle. Brian Boyle, again, scoring in the first period, 5 goals in 18 games. He is fitting like a glove with this team, not only on the ice, but off the ice and in the room as well.
Yeah, he really is. And you know, it's funny. I remember talking to Roman Josi about both Brian Boyle and Wayne Simmonds about a couple weeks after they had it, and just asking him, you know, as a captain, what are you doing to try and help these guys feel acclimated? And he was like, they're making my job so easy. He was like, I really haven't had to do anything because these guys, they fit perfectly into our locker room, not only as far as the system goes and on the ice, but as far as their personalities, and they're such good guys. And you know, he said the exact same thing about Mikael Granlund. So I think that that's a huge factor, especially, you know, in a team sport, you have to be able to get along and feel that chemistry with your teammates. And it's very evident that Brian Boyle and the other guys are fitting in every way as far as the locker room and the ice goes.
And it felt like he fit like a glove right away.
Oh yeah.
In Nashville. And you know, he does a lot of little things within a game that can help you win.
Like,
you think about the road game in Dallas last month where he hits Tyler Seguin on one end of the ice and then he cleans up a rebound and scores the game opening goal in that game.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, where have the Predators, like, where has this been for a long time? A guy like this who can crush a guy, a star player behind your own net, and then, you know, race down ice and clean up the rebound inside the crease on the other end and score a goal. And I was watching him on a shift last night where he was going behind the offensive net and Frederik Andersen was playing the puck. And Boyle basically did a little slash on Anderson's blocker. And Anderson, you could see it
kind
of ticked him off.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, okay, that's one of those little things where you're getting inside the head of Frederik Andersen.
Oh, yeah.
When you're Brian Boyle, a player that you're supposed to be parked in front of the net.
Yep.
And maybe the next time you park in front of the net, Andersen is going to continue to get agitated by you and slash you, and maybe you get a power play out
of it. Exactly.
Like, those are the little things that a veteran like Brian Boyle can bring to a team.
Yeah, I definitely think so. He does do, and you know, it's so cliche to say, oh, he does all the little things, but he really does, and he's one of those players that you when you think of a player that does all the little things, I mean, Brian Boyle would be one of the players that's at the top of the list. He really does, and I think, like I said, he has just fit into this team so well, and you can tell talking to the coaches, talking to his line mates, or anybody in that locker room, they're all extremely happy with the moves that the moves he made, as far as not only working out on the ice and offensively, we see, you know, the offensive production, but also the guys they are.
So Boyle scores the first goal of the night. Wayne Simmonds scores the second goal of the night, his first goal in a Preds uniform in his 9th game with the Preds. And as we alluded to in the first segment, it looked like a monkey was off his back after he scored that goal. And that is a player that I know the Preds would like to see really pick up the production down the stretch and into the playoffs. And both with him and Mikael Granlund, it kind of seems like both of them are still feeling out where they fit best, not only on the ice, but in the lineup in terms of who their line mates are. I know Peter Laviolette has kept Granlund, Bonino, and Simmonds together for the last few games. Yeah. Maybe that line will start gelling together. Maybe he'll mix it up again, but kind of feel like there's still a feeling out process going on there between Simmonds and Granlund still.
Yeah, and as far as Wayne Simmonds go, I mean, you could tell last night, as you said, he just was so elated to get that first goal and just to kind of get that out of the way. I thought it was funny, you know, when we were listening to him talk, how he said he didn't know if he was ever going to score again. So you know that he's been really pushing and really waiting for that first goal in a Preds jersey. And like I said, I really stand by it. It could be a domino effect for Wayne Simmonds. Sometimes after you get that first one, you know, that level of confidence just goes to a whole new level, to where we could see a lot more offensive production out of him soon.
For sure. And Mikael Granlund could be the same way. If that Granlund, Bonino, Simmonds line continues to gain chemistry, you would only think that the production for Mikael Granlund will increase. He has 4 points in 8 games in a Preds uniform. His one goal came in that home game against Carolina. And Hal Gill was on with Jared and GM yesterday, and he was asked about both Simmonds and Granlund, and here was his little snippet on Mikael Granlund.
Granlin, I think, is just trying to figure things out. I mean, like, let's give this guy a break. Yeah. He's gone through a lot. He got traded when he had a kid, and having a baby is hard enough. Getting traded is hard enough. Throw those together, and it's a tough mix for him right now. So let's give him some time to settle in. But I do like the way he's played with that Bonino line.
That was Hal Gill yesterday, Preds radio analyst on Mikael Granlund, preaching patience.
Yeah.
With number 64.
And I agree. I completely agree. He has gone through a lot. And not everybody's going to gel right away. You got to give him a little bit of time, I think. And we know he's got the skill. We've seen him time and time again. So I think it's just going to maybe take a little bit more time. And I totally agree with Hal. I think he's been doing the right things. It's just going to be a matter of maybe getting a bounce here or there.
Yeah. And Granlund, more so than maybe Boyle and Simmons, you kind of feel like there needs to be more patience with him in terms of him finding chemistry, because he's a player, in my opinion, that needs more chemistry to have success than maybe a Simmons or a Boyle, because the games for Simmons and Boyle, they're simple.
Yes.
They're throw your weight around, yeah, get in front of the net,
rough and tough,
where yeah, Granlund is more of that skill factor.
Speed and skill,
and you're trying to find that right timing and synergy with your line mates. So Granlund might have a longer acclimation process into Peter Laviolette's system.
Yeah, you definitely, I mean, it's very difficult to compare Granlund, you know, with a Simmons or a Boyle, because they're just night and day players. As far as, like you said, their skill set and what makes them successful as a player. So I definitely think we give it a little bit more time, and especially I am really excited to see Mikael Granlund in the playoffs. I think he's one of those players who is just going to step up and continue to get more and more confident, whether that's because he feels that pressure to step up and to be a factor for his team or whatever you want to call it. I think the sky's the limit for that kid.
For sure. And there were a couple plays last night against the Leafs where they could see it. Right.
Yeah.
Little battles, yep, in the corner or, yep, along the half wall where you're thinking, okay, there's a little flash right there where, mm-hmm, if he can start to build chemistry,
yeah,
you know, between the dots,
yes,
you're thinking, okay, this guy's going to bring something.
There's definitely, you see hints almost of it.
For
and
sure.
I think it's just going to be one of those breakouts where, you know, he's going to string together a few games where he's going to be able to create a bunch of offense that we're all going to be like, there he is.
Yeah,
he's
for sure
here.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of waiting for that moment because I know it's coming.
So when you go back to the beginning of last season through, let's say, the point in which Austin Watson was suspended and Brian Boyle was acquired, kind of seemed like the team was mostly the same for a long time. And David Poile, around the trade deadline, shuffled the deck a little bit.
Yeah.
Traded Kevin Fiala, traded Ryan Hartman, acquired Mikael Granlund, acquired Wayne Simmons and Boyle a few weeks before the deadline. And I think there needs to be a little bit more patience after something like that than,
yeah,
fans want to,
yeah,
like,
admit.
Because when you think back to the Winnipeg game, and I will admit, they were not playing well at the time, but they were right there in the third period, and it was a bing bing play where the Jets score and,
yeah,
make it 3-2. And there was a lot of outrage after that game in terms of them losing that game on the heels of being shut out in St. Louis. And I didn't really know what to think of what I was watching,
yeah,
back here in Middle Tennessee as you guys were up in Winnipeg, because, yes, they didn't play all that well, but you also have Mikael Granlund playing his first game in Nashville. You have Wayne Simmons playing in his second game,
yeah,
after the whirlwind of a trade deadline. Granlund,
that's a tall order,
right,
for anyone.
Exactly. And like, I didn't want to put too much weight into that game as other people did, because that wasn't a complete product,
yeah,
what you were watching, because they were still trying to figure each other out. And David Poile went on Darren and Donick yesterday, and he basically said that these moves, they're going to change the team a little bit, but it might be better suited come playoff time.
There's a big physical presence that we, you know, didn't have as much earlier in the year. I think that allows your top players to operate a little bit more comfortably out there. Probably gives you a little bit more space. I know from talking to the coaches, I think it helps their matchups. I've said before, you can't exactly pick your opponents in the playoffs, but it does appear that we're going to have to go through some bigger, more physical teams to have any success, either getting out of our division or getting out of our conference. So I'm happy with the play of the new guys. And I think that they were definitely needed for how we have to match up in the playoffs.
That was David Poile on the new additions, Boyle, Granlund, and Simmons, in terms of how they might impact the team in the playoffs. And I just kind of hearken back to what I was saying of it was going to take time
And maybe now we're seeing the fruits of that time of 2 weeks to try to figure everything out.
Yeah, I agree. And I think also, like you said, that Winnipeg game happened so quickly after all those trades. And I think it's going to be a huge, huge test to be able to see now that everything is sort of simmered a little bit, what it's going to be like. I shouldn't say simmer, pun intended. That's what the boys call Wayne Simmonds. but it'll be really interesting now because, I especially Wayne Simmonds, because for him to get a taste of that rivalry and be this big physical player and that presence in front of the net, I'm really interested to see him now for the second time around against Winnipeg.
For sure. And I thought maybe the Carolina game was the point in which that it was all going to start gelling because mm-hmm. you had 3 days off, you had a couple practices, and you're thinking, okay, maybe this is the point. And they had another slow start. And then they had the slow start in Anaheim. And that's when I started going, okay, there's something that needs to be fixed. But maybe, you know, patience is a virtue with something like this.
It is. And, you know, everybody knows just get to the playoffs. It's one of those things. And you want to feel good going into the playoffs. And maybe it's not always you don't feel good for the entire month before the playoffs or 2 months before the playoffs. But better late than never. And right now, I mean, if the guys, I knock on wood, but if they continue to show up like they did in San Jose and last night, I thought they looked great.
Coming up next, we'll hear from Preds chairman Herb Fritsch as the NHL made their official announcement with the Winter Classic down in Dallas on New Year's Day, where the Preds will be playing the Stars at the Cotton Bowl. We'll hear from Herb Fritsch after the break, and we will start to look ahead to tomorrow night's matchup, the Preds and the Penguins, for the first time this season. It's the only opponent the Preds have not played yet this regular season. We'll start to dive into that game as well. This is Preds Insiders. She's Lindsay Rowley. I'm Ryan Porth. ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the show on this Wednesday evening. It is Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Slapshot Radio coming up at the top of the hour with Paul McCann and company, and then Penalty Box Radio with Justin Bradford and company at 8 o'clock. It is our typical Wednesday night of Preds talk here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Earlier today, the Winter Classic, the NHL, had their official press conference announcing the matchup between the Preds and the Stars January 1st, 2020 at the Cotton Bowl. Tickets go on sale April 23rd. Predators chairman Herb Fritsch was in attendance, and he talked about how the Preds are excited to be in their first ever Winter Classic.
On behalf of the entire Nashville Predators organization, we'd like to thank Gary Bettman and the NHL for their support of hockey in Nashville. We would also like to thank the greatest fans in the NHL who create the electric atmosphere in Smashville and might be most excited of all of us to be participating in this game. Bridgestone has been an integral part of the growth of both the franchise and the city of Nashville since putting their name on our arena nearly a decade ago and moving their North American headquarters just one block away from us. So we look forward to furthering our partnership outside of Smashville with Bridgestone. Being in the middle of a college football hotbed, we know how historic the Cotton Bowl is and the legends who have played in this stadium on New Year's Day. We hope that our rivalry with the Stars and Dallas's ability to throw a great party will add one more chapter to that history. We know our fans will be loud and proud at the 2020 Bridgestone NHL Classic and dream about hosting one in Smashville very soon. Thank you.
That was Herb Fritsch earlier today down at the Cotton Bowl for the NHL press conference announcing the Winter Classic. Again, tickets on sale April 23rd. The game is January 1st, 2020. Preds and Stars. That should be a lot of fun. Ryan Porth, Lindsay Rowley here, Preds Insiders. Should be a lot of fun, Lindsay.
I am so excited. I cannot wait. We haven't, of course, it's way too early to have the details as far as broadcasting and what we'll be allowed to do and how much coverage we'll be allowed to do from, you know, a team standpoint. But I am just hoping for the most because, I've never gotten to cover an outdoor game. And so it's definitely been on my bucket list. Covering a Stanley Cup was at the top and got to do that. Covering a Stanley Cup win is towards the top as well. So maybe, come on, guys, help me out with that. But definitely an outdoor game has been at the top of my list. So I just can't wait to feel that the Cotton Bowl filled up and the energy. And Roman Yossi talked to us about it, about just like even him talking about it. I don't even get to play in it. And it was like giving me goosebumps talking about, you know, them walking out and the steam and the fans and everything. And I just think it's going to be one of those incredible moments when they come out for warmups.
Absolutely. And did you go to the Cotton Bowl down in Dallas last month when some of the broadcasters and players went?
I didn't.
Okay.
I saw the feature on it and everything like that. And that's kind of where I heard Roman talking about it and the guys. And you know, all of them were like, you know, it's difficult to kind of picture because it's empty. But then, like they said, you know, thinking about it full and the gold jerseys you're going to see and the screaming fans and everybody comes out. It's just, it's going to be so much fun to watch.
With as big as the Cotton Bowl is, there's going to be a lot of gold in there.
Oh, there's going to be a ton of gold. You know, they're pushing ticket sales big time. And I think the Preds already travel really well.
Oh, yeah.
So, you add in the fact that Dallas is not some long, crazy flight to get, you know, it's not that difficult to get to Dallas.
It's not even a long drive. I mean,
no.
10 hours, yeah, for some people is a long drive.
But if you're like, you know, a group of your friends and you're hopping in a car on a road trip to go to a Winter Classic, like that's awesome for New Year's. Like, hey, go for New Year's Eve, spend New Year's Eve there and then go to the game. It'd be awesome.
Yeah.
So, but I think there's going to be a ton of gold in the Cotton Bowl. I can't wait to see it. Hopefully majority. That's what we're hoping for.
That would be pretty cool. And I can't wait to see the jerseys. Too,
oh, yeah.
For both teams, but especially the Preds.
I want one.
Reasons.
I don't even know what they are, but I want one already.
Well, speaking from experience, I was actually at the one in Pittsburgh between the Capitals and the Penguins. I was also there for the Rangers and the Flyers, but that one wasn't as cool as Penn's Caps because it was built up as this epic game that was
rivalry.
The biggest regular season game you will ever see because it was Crosby versus Ovechkin in a football stadium.
Yeah.
And when they came out, and it was the first one in primetime. Because they had to move the time due to warm weather. It was like unseasonably warm.
That's what I'm worried about Dallas. Yeah. Honestly, I'm worried about Dallas with the warm weather.
It was about 60 degrees, but it was also rainy. So
that's even worse. Yeah, that's difficult. You don't want anybody to get hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was in prime time.
Yeah.
So it felt like Sunday night football with this battle royale of here's Crosby and the Penguins and here's Ovechkin and the Capitals and the stadium. Like one section is black and gold, the next section is red and blue, and then the next section,
awesome.
And it was like a checkerboard throughout the whole state. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. So I just really hope.
That would be awesome if they could do that for this, and do the green and gold. Like that would be really cool.
I really hope the scene in Dallas for the Cotton Bowl is the same
it's
as it was at Heinz
Field. It's
going to be
crazy, no matter what. I mean, no matter if they do the checker thing, that'd be awesome. But even if they don't, it is going to be outstanding. And I mean, you talk about like how fun it would be to go down, and I mean, I'm going to be working, but I'm also going to be having fun, but like to go with a group of friends and tailgate
and do
the whole nine yards and do it right. And especially if you're there for New Year's Eve. I'm trying to convince my family to come down from Ohio. I was like, tell my dad's of course in, so it's getting mom down here, and my sister from North Carolina. I'm like, come on guys, like we'll go out on New Year's Eve, and then we'll all, like, you guys can come to the game, and it'll just be so much fun. And so I'm telling everybody, everybody's got to get there.
For sure. Once again, January 1st, 2020, Pred Stars at the Cotton Bowl. This upcoming up New Year's Day should be a ton of fun between the Preds and the Stars. I mentioned the Penguins earlier, and the Penguins are tomorrow night's opponent for the Nashville Predators. The first time this season, all season long, in game, 75, 76?
Yeah.
That the Preds are playing the Penguins.
I know,
it's crazy. They will go to Pittsburgh next Friday, but
just
they
jammed it all in at once.
Exactly, but they host the Pens tomorrow night.
Yeah,
and it's always a good time when the Penguins come in because you know Penguins fans do travel well. They're not like the Blackhawks, what they used to be,
right.
But they're kind of what the Leafs were last night. There were a lot of
Leafs fans there. Yeah,
with that Toronto blue, but it's always a fun environment for Preds and Penguins. Stanley Cup final. A couple years ago in 2017.
Still stings.
And you've got Crosby coming in. And it is always an interesting game between the Penguins and the Preds. Last year, it was Kyle Turris's debut.
Mm-hmm.
Scored in the shootout to help the Preds win that game. And the Penguins are playing good hockey. The Preds are playing good hockey. looking forward to this one tomorrow night.
It's definitely boiling down to what should be an amazing, really tight game from start to finish. But, I mean, I know, just making the comment that when you mentioned the Stanley Cup final, like, it still stings for me. I can still picture myself sitting at the desk, the clock winding down at 30 seconds, knowing that the, you know, Penguins were going to win the Stanley Cup in Bridgestone Arena. And so if I'm flashing back to that, you know, any of those guys that were there for that game, it's still got to spark something in them. Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things where we talked about Winnipeg not being a difficult game to get up for. I've got to imagine it's the exact same thing for tomorrow.
Well, and the Preds have played really well.
They have.
Against Eastern Conference
powers.
They
have.
They swept Tampa.
Yep.
They swept Toronto.
Yeah.
They swept Washington, and they swept the New York Islanders.
Yes.
They split with the Bruins. This is the first time they're playing the Penguins. For whatever
better
reason,
record against the East than the West, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, they're really good against the East. I tweeted that out last night, and CM Punk tweeted me back. I don't know how he saw the tweet. He tweeted me back saying, are you going to put up a banner for that?
Oh, God, of course. The obligatory response.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, for whatever reason, they're really successful against really good teams.
Yeah.
I mean, they just beat the Sharks.
Yeah.
So I would expect the Preds' best effort. We both feel like they've at least started to turn the corner,
yes,
if not fully turned the corner. From whatever it was that we saw from about mid-January to early March.
Yeah,
there's
no real worry left, I think. And I know that that's maybe a strong statement. But I really just, the feel around the locker room. And you know, I don't know. Like you said, there was that feeling a little bit of maybe a little bit of caution or being uptight or lack of confidence. It's not there anymore. And you know, I don't really think before it wasn't ever anything where the Preds had any, not enough confidence, because they know they had the pieces.
Yeah.
They've got the skill. They've got the guys to win games. And I think that was the most frustrating piece of it all, when they weren't doing as well as they wanted, because they know how good they can be. And so I don't know if maybe it's just a little bit of overdoing it or whatever it may be, but for whatever reason, that, I don't feel that anymore. I didn't feel it, like I said, in San Jose. Didn't feel it yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to feel it tomorrow in the locker room at morning skate. And
right.
I'm just really to the point of excitement. I'm excited for them to take on the Pens. I'm excited for them then to travel to Winnipeg. And I'm going to be, you know, like some kind of a banshee in that back locker room running around where no one can see me.
Yeah. Well, the urgency definitely seems to be back. And like you said, this is a confident group. I would be surprised if that confidence left.
I agree.
Between 100%. Now and the playoffs, and they dip back
it
into
pretty solidified.
That rut.
Yes.
I mean, things can happen.
They can't.
Stranger things have happened.
Yes. And I'm not sitting here saying they're going to go undefeated to the playoffs. No, I mean, no, that's unrealistic to say, oh, they're not going to lose another game until they get to the, no, I don't think that's it. But what I'm saying is, even if there happens to be a loss in there, I don't think we're going to feel that, if that makes sense. Like, I think the next game it's going to be, okay, we lost. It's all right. Next game.
I would expect a really tight-knit game tomorrow. And for whatever reason, when the Pens and the Preds play, they go to overtime in this building.
Don't say that.
It seems like
you can't say the word. Seriously, Ryan, if we go to overtime tomorrow, I am going to be tweeting at you, texting you, blowing your phone up, and completely blaming you.
It is seriously uncanny. Pittsburgh coming into Nashville in the regular season, and those two teams going to overtime.
No, but you don't say it.
Well, you know. Look, the hockey gods will probably even it out, because last night's game ended at like 9:20.
That's true.
So it will probably be about 10:15 tomorrow night.
I'm still going to blame you.
Okay.
If we go past regulation, it's all your fault.
I will take 100% of the blame.
It's all your fault.
Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Lindsey Rally, host of Predators Live on Fox Sports Tennessee. Always a pleasure
to have you come by.
For Lindsey Rally, I'm Ryan Porth. You've been listening to Preds Insiders. Coming up next, it is Slapshot Radio right here, ESPN 102.5 The Game.